WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshall guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me.
I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going to be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us, sir. How are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome to another episode of Monday Night Talk. My name is Kevin Tachi, and... We have a fantastic show for you this evening. Thank you very much for keeping your radio dial set right here to 95.9 WATD. 95.9WATD.com, heard worldwide. And we'll start things off right after traffic, after we check in with Malcolm Alter, with Mr. Richard Rosen. Mr. Richard, it's kind of a 1-2 punch of our premier sponsors here at Monday Night Talk, as we have McGuigan's Pub, Richard Rosen. Richard, welcome back.
Good to be here.
And I might add that Richard also is actually had to talk him down from wanting to get an agent because he is so popular now. He does a cable show now that is seen in 6 states, including Massachusetts,
including
the California, yeah, the Department of Corrections
in
California.
The Department of Corrections in California. Well,
they
if
love
the show
these.
Comes in later, maybe we can show it here in Plymouth as well.
Yeah. PAC TV. Absolutely.
There you go.
Actually, Richard is the host and producer of The Buzz Around Bees, or The Buzz About Bees.
The Buzz
Around Bees. Around Bees.
You should know. You came up with a name.
I'm the executive producer.
Of course, I know.
But
we have a theme song, too. I have to keep asking... What's the name of the theme song?
Yeah, it's the Flight of the Bumblebee.
The Flight of the Bumblebee, there you
Flight
go.
Of the Bumblebee. And so the premise, we've done 3 episodes, but the premise of the show is we started back in the spring when Richard received his bee packages from the Plymouth County Beekeepers
Association. Yep.
In Hanson. And so what's fantastic is that Richard, we have followed the progress from not only installing the bees into the hives, but also inspecting the hives, to even discovering upon our last inspection, the 2 of the hives have brand new bees, and we got to see...
Queens.
Queens. New queens, and we got to see them when they labeled the new queens.
It was pretty fascinating.
That is fascinating. And you can actually see it. It is on YouTube. The Buzz Around Bees. We've got three episodes. But Richard's going to be here tonight, not so much to boast about his beehives, which I'm sure are buzzing. I know, it's bad.
That's bad.
Real bad. But we're here to talk a little bit about McGuigan's. We like to have him in on a regular basis because he's not a guy who just... He doesn't just, like, set the menu and hire a bunch of people to come and do entertainment. There's always something new and happening at McGuigan. So we give him a chance to come in and just kind of refresh folks' minds. Of course, located in downtown Whitman, 546 Washington Street. And hopefully soon we're going to see maybe a little expansion, or maybe a little bit more. I know there's talks, but...
We're not ready to announce it yet.
We're not ready to announce anything.
Your next endeavor. Yes, we'll announce that the next time I'm on.
Awesome. So we'll talk with Richard, and then... At 6:30, we've started doing this little bit of a series. Last week we started it. It's about 50 people running for office in the city of Brockton. And so we thought we would find a way to slowly bring them in, groups at a time. It's like a conversations with the candidates. So we have Wynn Falwell, who's an at-large counselor, former mayor and school committee member as well. Dennis Ianneri, who is the dean of the city council, formerly not only being a Ward 3 city councilor, but he used to be a school committee member. And then Ann Beauregard, Ward 5 city council. We'll speak with them, chat with them about seeking re-election. I mean, they're in Brockton every 2 years. I will tease this, that I've had conversations with Christine James. I know there's a special election that's going to be going on in the town of Scituate to replace a board member. We're going to do something very similar. We'll have the folks who are running, myself and Christine, will kind of have a conversation with those candidates about those issues sometime towards the end of this month. Top of the hour, of course, we change gears, and we're going to speak with Kara McCormick. And she, of course, is the curator of the People's Museum of Brockton, where she's looking to gather items, collect personal objects from folks to loan to her to kind of tell their story in regards to the city of Brockton. So we'll speak with Kara about that. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Pembroke Day and also the 8th Annual Pembroke Chamber of Commerce versus Pembroke Police and Firefighters, a big softball game where I believe, since I have come aboard, we are 2-0 when it comes to the chamber, how well they do. So we're looking forward to that. So stay tuned, as we're also, I'm supposed to have, now Peter Brown is here.
Yes.
Very quiet. Peter just kind of sitting here.
Sorry. And I'm just enjoying my McGuigan's Pub pizza.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment.
I'm excited. Are you excited? The Massachusetts legislature has proposed virtually to double the current tobacco tax. Seriously, $900 million the Commonwealth receives from tobacco tax revenue every year. I hope weed sells this good, because if the proposed taxes are passed, we're changing the name of our business. How's Brennan's in New Hampshire sound? Hey, it's Jeff from Brennan's in New Hampshire. Come buy your tobacco here, tax-free, while stocking up on your booze and fireworks. Literally stealing tax dollars from the hardworking families in Massachusetts. The truth is, the legislature depends on tobacco taxes to balance the budget in Massachusetts every legislative session. So put that in your pipe. Brennan's Smoke Shop, Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, New Bedford, and coming soon to New Hampshire.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk as we jump right into our very first segment. It's Mr. Richard Rosen. Chat with him a little bit about McGuigan's Pub. What's the latest going on at...
First of all, we were just talking that the only reason that you invite me here as co-host is so I'll bring pizza.
Is that bad?
Actually, no.
I think it's wise.
Yeah, I think it is wise. So
I actually bring you because of your personality and what you bring to the show. This is just the pizza, it's just the gravy.
Oh, boy. So it's what's new with Wiggins? It's getting bad. So
what did you bring for pizza, by the way?
Hawaiian cheese and pepperoni.
Wow.
I wanted to bring a pepper and onion, but the last time I did, my car stunk for 3 days. I couldn't stand it.
Can't have that.
So yeah,
it's really good.
And I might add, this is the weed that he was talking about. This is the three members of the Brockton City Council are here, who are going to be our guests for the 6:30 segment. Wynn Falwell, Dennis Ianneri, and Ann Beauregard, as they're enjoying a little bit of McGuigan's pizza. If you want, Mr. Falwell has a plate. So you can keep your attire clean, even though this is radio. It is not a visual medium.
Thank God.
I know, right? No, this actually talked of actually videotaping these shows. Because we have such great guests.
I'm withholding my comments.
I know you are.
Yeah, they wouldn't be any good.
Really?
No, maybe.
Okay. So anyway. If you're on them? The host of Buzz Around Bees?
I think we seriously need to speak to the sheriff when he comes in about the show, and if the California...
Department of Corrections
has picked it up, so maybe we can show it in Plymouth. But anyway, McGuigan's is...
That's what they need down there, is to watch bees.
McGuigan's is doing well. We've actually had a really busy summer. Generally, July and August are your slowest months. And we just had the best July we ever had. And we've been there almost 8 years. We just had the best August we've ever had, which is pretty good after that period of time.
What do you attribute that to?
Me.
Such a humble guy.
That's the best way.
Really a humble guy.
It's, I just think it's because, you know, even after all these years, people thought when we first opened that we were just a bar room. And they didn't realize that we were a good restaurant, a really good restaurant. I mean, and there's really not a lot around. You know, I hate to say this, bad weather helps us during the summer because people don't go to the beach. They don't go to Plymouth. They don't leave town. Really, really, really hot nights help because people don't want to cook. So they come inside. And, you know, we do have really good food. And, you know, we have the half-price pizzas on Wednesday. And, you know, we have the Irish Sessions on Tuesday. We change things up quite often, so.
See, I thought it was three key words. Location, location, location.
No.
You don't think it's location?
No.
And not that the church are...
Who is insane enough to open a restaurant in Whitman Center?
You.
I mean, really. You. But I mean, seriously, it's location, location, location. Of course, I'm in the real estate business. Most people think, you know, McGuigan's Pub, but I'm really in the real estate business. And that is the key. But McGuigan's Pub in Whitman Center, I don't think anybody in the world thought that we would survive when I opened.
It's tough business to be in.
And remember, it was the worst economy of our lifetime when I opened. Mm. And I used to say to my daughter, if we can do this well now, when the economy changes, we're going to do really well. And you know what? The economy is better. The real estate market is again booming. And overall, the economy is well. And I think that attributes a lot to why we're busy.
But isn't the real estate market cyclical? I mean, it's, you know, it's on the way up, it's on its way down. You know what I mean? And you know when it's really doing well, you know when it's not doing so well.
I've been through three real estate debacles, as I refer to them. The last one just ending. And I'm not going to go through a fourth. This last one was the longest and the worst. I mean, you know, we had one in the 90s, 2000s, you know, several years ago. And it's tough. It's tough, but things are booming right now. I mean,
anything new? How's the lobster roll? I know that's one of the things that you
so
offer.
We have the lobster roll back for the summer. Yep. And I challenge anybody to find a better lobster roll anywhere.
You don't find anybody whipping out a ruler or a measuring tape to check it, do you?
No, but we have a lot of people coming in to get lobster rolls. You know, of course, we bring the fried clams back for the summer. And strawberry shortcake with homemade biscuits. Mm. We just introduced a stuffed mushroom as an appetizer, and I want to tell you, it is really good. And you know, we do that. The daily specials is the general menu stays pretty much the same most of the time. And you know, it's that page of specials that people really like. And you know, you've been there a number of times.
Yeah, I'm a regular customer. Unlike Joe Rossi.
I was just going to say, as opposed to the guy that used to sit here, that I'm not sure he knows how to get to Whitman.
I tried, you know, giving him directions once, and he told me he was going to use his phone. And
you know what's really funny? It's the amount of people that come in to buy our honey. It's, I was in there the other night, and I was talking to someone, and the woman walks in, and she just wanted to buy some honey. I mean, they don't come in to eat, they don't come in to drink, they come in because it's local honey. Mm. And it's really good local honey.
Now, you sell it by eight ounces? All right, yeah. So it's $8 an ounce, right?
Correct.
$8
a bottle.
A bottle.
$7.99.
So right now it's, what, $16 for a full...
Actually, I don't sell a pound. I did.
Right, but the smaller quantity is desirable.
People wanted the 8 ounce as opposed to the 1 pounders. So I do sell a lot of honey.
How's single going?
It's single? Actually starting right now.
It is.
It's going really well. It's amazing. It's amazing what Mondays have become since we started Singo. I had no idea what it was when my daughter, who's the manager, said to me, oh, we're going to do
Danielle.
Singo.
Give Danielle some love.
Danielle. I had no idea what Singo was. And for people that don't know what it is, it's a gentleman comes in with a really nice sound system and he plays music and he gives you a bingo card. And it's all music. So one night it could be all Beatles or all Elvis or mixed music. And the good news is that you don't have to yell the title when he plays the song, and you don't have to sing,
most
which is even better
now.
News, because that's all the things that I could envision. You get the card, and what you do is you just, you know, you mark off five across, five down, X's, coveralls, and we give away gift cards for pizzas is the prize. And people come in, and it goes for an hour and a half, and they sit there, and they enjoy it. It's fun.
Any more paint nights coming up?
Yes, but I don't know when. But we'll find out.
You want to find out about the menu? You want to find out about any of the entertainment they have?
My next appearance, we'll talk about the announcement that I'm going to make maybe by the end of the week or next week, which it's premature to make it now, and I'll know when we're going to have a paint night.
Really?
No.
But I get dragged to the last one. Yeah. That's where I discovered Big Ginger.
You did? And for the people listening, we can pull back the curtain a little and tell them that you were the only guy at the paint night, and you did a wonderful job. It was a lovely flower or something. I don't know.
Listen, when the boss tells you to go to paint night, you go to paint night.
It's fun. Those things are pretty good, too. Brings in a lot of people, and it's a good afternoon, you know.
I was there for the drinks.
Of course you were. And they were good, right?
They were excellent.
Of course they were.
We had Barbie, one of the best waitresses that you have there.
Yes. She's been with me since we opened, which, again, is funny. The majority of my employees have been there since I opened almost 8 years ago.
She reminds me, anybody who remembers the TV show Cheers, she could be mistaken for Carla.
Easily.
She doesn't have quite the edgy demeanor that Carla had, but she's quick with a joke and to, you know.
Easily
to make sure that you're having a good time when you stop by McGuigan's. Well, if folks want to find out more, the website is?
McGuigan'sPub.com, McGuigan'sPub.com. Telephone is 781-447-7333.
And again, 546 Washington Street, downtown Whitman.
Downtown Whitman. You can't miss
it. Stop by today and grab yourself some honey. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, I speak to some members of the Brockton City Council right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back. Thank you for keeping that radio dial set and not running off to single at McGuigan's Pub. We have joining us, this is two of the three here are repeat offenders. They actually were part of a segment we did at Wood 5 City Councilor. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, all of you.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
Thank you.
And so the idea, what we're trying to do, last week we had a group of folks in here who are seeking to be a member of the city council, maybe run for mayor. It was an interesting conversation. So we have thought that we would try to do a conversation with the candidates type of a thing on a regular basis and have, you know, whether it's incumbents come in. I'd rather have the incumbents come together and have the candidates come in and have different denominations of candidates come in and have a conversation and talk about the city government and kind of get glean as to what they are, the individuals are looking for. There are those of you who have served, you understand. There are those of you who have served in different capacity. There are those of you who have served the city in one way or the other. So you've earned your stripes. The idea is to give you an opportunity to talk about the re-election process, some of the things that you guys have faced over the last 2 years, because it's a quick turnaround from, you know, most communities. It's, you know, if you're a selectman, it's like every 3 years you're running. Some communities, it's every 4 years. Brockton, It's different. Everybody, everybody is up after 2 years. And it's almost like you're running after a year and a half. So I guess we'll kind of go around the room, give you guys all a chance to kind of give your thoughts on, I mean, what has it been like for the past year and a half during this legislative session on the city council? Dean?
Why did I know we were going to start there?
Well,
I just had that feeling. It's been a challenge. It really has. I have to say, this is my 14th year, and I am a candidate for re-election for city council, representing the great people of Ward 3. Look forward to the upcoming campaign. Do have a couple of people that have come out and want to run against me, and that's fine. That's the political process, and I accept that. But feel confident enough that with my 14 years as a member of the Brockton City Council, twice as city council president, my many years before that as being a school committee member, I think the people of the city of Brockton know who I am, even the new people of the city of Brockton as well. So getting back to your question, it has been a little bit more of a challenge than it was the last few years. As you know, we had different administration come in a couple of years ago with a new mayor. That striked a different pose to what we had previous to that. When I was there, I served under Linda Belzotti, and as well as Jim Harrington. And I had the pleasure of serving the last of his term, Jack Eunice, when I first came on. So things change. And I think in the process of all that change, the city was changing still. Money was still a little bit available. Now it's become tighter. When I begun some 14 years ago, you had a pot of gold of about $16.8 million that sat in a surplus account. Today, you're probably lucky if you got $2.5 million, to be truthful with you. And budgets become tighter, have become much tighter. School system's still under a tight situation that we still don't know where we're going to come out of. Things are happening. There's growth happening in the city, no doubt. But everything just seems to be coming at us at a little more of a faster pace than what it used to be over those last several years. So that's made it more of a challenge. But I still like the challenge, and my goal is always to be accessible and available to the people, which I've done that over the years. I've held ward meetings, still holding ward meetings. This year alone, just in the past few months, I've had several ward meetings because of different things that are happening just within my own ward and Ward 3 alone, even with a project that's trying to sneak in off of West Chestnut Street into West Bridgewater.
Sneaking over the border from West Bridgewater, huh?
Yeah, and to no real happy promise for anything for the city of Brockton, to be truthful with you, but still it's there and it is an issue, and the people have an issue with it, and so don't I, and we're going to continue that fight. So
shake your fist at those developers.
It's a no-go as far as I'm concerned, but we just keep the battle up, and thanks to my colleagues. There's a lot of colleagues that have joined me at large, and Councilor Fowle and Councilor Sullivan as well have joined me on many times at my ward meetings to fight the good fight too, because these people have their concern about that that project in itself, traffic flow on West Chestnut Street, those issues there. So again, those are going to be affecting the campaign, and no doubt going to be affecting the person that's also running with me, because those questions are going to be asked to them of what their thought is, and some other issues that are still on the table that the mayor is trying to push with us as well. So that's going to be a makeup of a great campaign, but a challenge. And again, I look forward to it.
And you're new to the city council. This is you're completing your first term. What's it been like for you?
Well, I can tell you one thing: it's not boring at any point. I mean, I'd already been very active in the city, so I was prepared for much. I had already been attending city council meetings and a variety of different other situations. I had three goals, and one of them was to be as transparent as possible. And I make that a point to inform people. I will say sometimes Facebook can be a tremendous asset, and other times it can be a serious detriment. The idea is to get out the facts, then you can make up your mind. But the facts and not the fiction. So work very hard for that. I've also tried to empower people as much as possible, and just like I'll say this evening, attend meetings. I encourage people, finance committee especially, all the subcommittee meetings. I serve with both my colleagues here on accounts committee. We've had more accounts committee meetings in the past year and a half than they had in the past 4 years before us. And we address issues. It's the constituents' money. and we need to know where it's going. And they have a right to find out. They're welcome to all these meetings. They're welcome to our real estate meetings. And they're not always interesting, but they're vital to the process. So that was a goal. The other part was to address economic development. And I'm still at that, and change around the way Brockton 21st Century Corp was working. So we continuously work with issues that concern businesses in the city and getting other businesses in the city. And our problem sometimes is the people who live in the city have a negative attitude about the city. And that doesn't help us to bring businesses in like we wish. Yet, we have one of the most phenomenal school systems in the Commonwealth, the fourth largest. We have talent coming out of our high school with students speaking 3 and 4 different languages when they come out of school on the way to college. Mm-hmm. That's talent that businesses are looking for. So if they want to come to a place where it's reasonable to rent and it's accessible by both highway and community rail, and also other forms of public transportation, then they can come to a city with over 100,000 people, with 3 hospitals, a phenomenal school system.
I definitely love your Brockton PSA, but
I am not missing out on promoting Brockton.
I know you're running the torch, but as I like to do, I want to keep you on point here.
You're keeping me on point. We've been doing this for years.
Yeah, I know, and I haven't been successful yet, but I'll keep trying. But no, talk to me about your, what has it been like, your first months?
Okay, first of all, this is what I've been doing, as I mentioned. Okay, so two of the things that we're working on is getting streets paved and addressing this as a huge dynamic, because the majority of people go to bed at night assuming that the street they live on belongs to their city, and it's public. And a great deal of the ones in Ward 5 are not that case. They're private. And it's getting through that step to get them into the opportunity to have their streets
paved.
You
probably hear the people going, well, my street is paved, and the firefighters will show up. Well, that's kind of, not paved, but when it snows, it's probably plowed.
But
plowed so you can get emergency vehicles down that road in order to help somebody in need.
So I'll go back to the fact that I say I want to educate people. So, yes, I can say that the only meeting I have not attended that has to do with members of the city in some way, whether residents and people that work for the city, is the cemetery committee. I have not gone to the cemetery commission
meeting. Next term, though, right?
Next term, I'll just make it there.
She's made a campaign promise, folks.
Yes, campaign promise to show up. But that's been part of it, is attending all these meetings and learning and, quite frankly, defending the residents in many instances on their concerns. All yes, right. I'll defer to my colleague here.
Okay, because it is a half-hour segment.
I know.
It's all good. I just want to make sure we get a chance to give you guys an opportunity to talk about what you have done, why you're seeking re-election, some of the important things that are going on. Mr. Falvo, again, at-large counselor, you have served in all 3 capacities, school committee, mayor. Now you're at-large. What has the first term been like for you? I would think that having all that experience, it was somewhat, like getting back on a bike and riding.
It is, except that you've got 10 colleagues. Okay. So now we interact with one another. We listen to one another. We cover all age brackets, from my good friend Jack Lally, who's 20, up to my age bracket. Dennis rapidly approaching my age bracket. I think the thing that struck me the most is that there is a lot of work. I mean, I think some people believe that the council is more of a ceremonial position, almost like the governor's council. You know, they meet every once in a while and they vote.
Guys pass around the rubber stamp.
All right, I got it. I know it. But if you saw the number of things that are emailed to us, 111-page attachments for a downtown urban renewal project that we've passed, or a comprehensive plan for what Brockton should look like in the coming years, which the planning board just passed, there is a lot of reading. There is a lot of legal research. So what I've tried to do in my first term, and I am running for re-election because I enjoy it, just thoroughly prepare for meetings, know what you're talking about. I don't think the public expects you to get everything right, but I think they expect you to be prepared. Mm-hmm. And I've passed a few ordinances. With Councilor Monahan, we passed a hiring ordinance, which really professionalizes the way the city will advertise positions and select candidates. And we passed a couple of ordinances, which I wrote, which provide for minimum qualifications for people on the Planning Board and Conservation Commission. So I guess I'm trying to get the city up to 2017 standards in some areas where perhaps we've lacked, but always listening to constituents. The four at-large councilors hold their own meetings quarterly.
Yeah, you guys kind of travel around the
city. We travel around the city, but I also go to all the other ward meetings. I'll go to Dennis's, I'll go to Ann's, I'll go to Jack Lally's, anyone who happens to have a ward meeting, because politics really is about listening to people.
It's all local. Richard, Peter, either one of you want to ask a question? I'm sitting here hogging the spotlight.
I just want to say that I hit the jackpot tonight, being the co-host this evening, because I've known all three of these people for decades. Mm-hmm. When I was on the Board of Selectmen in Whitman, Dennis was on the school committee, I believe.
Right. Yeah.
And when Police Department and Ann, you know, I've known for many years, so I'm lucky. I have a couple of questions. One is, and pardon me if
I get a two-parter.
What is the status of making Main Street a two-way street?
It is one of the components of the downtown urban renewal plan.
Right.
It will be expensive because you're going to have to change all the traffic heads and you're going to have new signage. One of the interesting things, I think, will be, I don't believe you'll have parking on both sides of Main Street.
Right.
Because
right.
Vehicles are wider now, even pickup trucks with their mirrors. So the interesting dynamic will be which side of Main Street is not going to have parking. I suspect everybody on the east side will want parking, everybody in the west side will want parking, and we'll be, as a city, caught in the middle of trying to decide. But it is part of the strategic plans going forward as part of the downtown urban renewal project.
You know, as a real estate developer, I'm always interested. As a matter of fact, Dennis, I took a look at that project that you're fighting against, and I took a pass on it. I didn't think it was for me to do, but I'm interested in the revitalization of downtown. I think that's a huge key in any revitalization or the comeback of any city.
Which it really is. There's no doubt about it.
Can you just tell us about some of the new projects that are on the drawing board?
Well, I think you're talking about just, you hit it, they're on the drawing board.
On the drawing board.
I mean, there's nothing really there to say that, other than the Trinity project, which you saw on Center Street and Martello Street, was right. Under the Belzotti administration, and now we just passed the money for the parking garage. But that's 2 years late, because it was already supposed to be there.
Right.
It was supposed to follow right after the Trinity. So that, we expect that. And then you'll see some work done to Petronelli Way, and I believe Petronelli Way is going to be a two-way street. They're going to make that two-way and do some work there.
Isn't there going to be another byway that's going to be in there somewhere, too?
There's going to be a conjunction in there, so you can come. Yeah. Right, exactly. But I just going back to the two-way traffic to Main Street, and I think, just as Council Fowler said, I mean, it's a component. And to me, I think it's a strong component if you want Main Street to really
thrive.
Be thriving to what it used to be. It'll never be what it used to be, let's put it that way. But you need that two-way traffic.
Back in the day, Joe and Nemo's and...
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fry Cigar, every corner going.
Right.
I mean, those were the important days. You know,
right.
That's how it was back then. But
right.
you do need it. That's the way I look at it.
Let's give Ann a chance to answer both of those thoughts.
Okay. Sure. Well, you asked about downtown and the two-way traffic. That's not off the drawing board. What they're talking about now, and I deal regularly with Old Colony Planning Council, because they do the studies for our streets. They're currently looking at actually addressing the streets around Main Street first, Warren Ave, for example, and the side streets that go along. As far as, you know, we have, Dennis alluded to, that we're talking about, it's been signed to have that five-story parking garage, and in Ward 5, actually, off my ward, off of Montello and Petronelli Way, and that is almost all full before it's even built. The need for the parking is so extensive. But what we're also seeing is, with the complete streets that's been passed here in Brockton, as Wynn talked about, the different ordinances we've had, now that is this one change. I can't exactly call it an ordinance, it's state policy, and it fell under that category, is that we're seeing streets now, more demand for sidewalks and more bike lanes. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see a lot more of that. And there's a whole study going on actually about the demand and the needs and the changes of transportation. And that's...
I know
that's
West Elm Street. West Elm Street looks terrific now that it's been redone.
They come out very nice.
They come out great.
And I have to say to the administration, we have authorized funding for LED lighting, which will eventually go throughout the city. And you're going to literally see in the areas that first are outfitted with the LED lighting, you'll see the difference that's really going to be citywide. Mm. It will not only save money because they're more energy efficient, but it will certainly throw, no pun intended, a different light on the city of Champions.
If I can let Peter, do you have a question or no?
Well, one of the things that I was looking at there was talking about the schoolroom, more programs and hiring teachers. On the vocational end of it, are you bringing back more and more of the vocational parts of the classes to the middle school?
I don't know if we're doing that in Brockton. I know that we have Southeastern Regional School Committee, right, which handles a lot of vocational education. What I'm getting from the school committee and the school superintendent is they're worried about the general education aid coming into the city, and they're losing music programs. They're losing middle school sports. And I know Councilor Ianeri was just interviewed, and he was talking about the suit that will be going forward in terms of
correct.
Trying to Henry level Fall. The playing Henry field. So perhaps perhaps Dennis can pick up on that a little bit.
And that was just in this evening's newspaper. They have to make contact with me because I was one of the oldest members, I guess the oldest one they could find,
sure,
to when 1993 when we had the Ed Reform Act. I think Councilor Fowler was mayor then, though, when it did get passed. And there's no doubt that in order for us to see our way through this situation that we have with the school department, because of the lack of funding we've been receiving, that we've got to, again, strike a case that we had so many years ago, and it was known as Webby versus Dukakis is what it was known back in the late 80s, I believe it was, and then it went on to be the McDuffie versus at the same time the Commonwealth. So it finally won its case, as you know, in 1993. That's when the Education Reform Act was passed, and we saw almost close to $72 million come into the city over a seven-year span. Council Fowler had then left the mayor's seat at that point in time, and we were able to do some good things, and we were able to do some great things, let alone just with the educational piece in itself, but we were able to take care of the school buildings at the same time. We really did a lot, and a lot of those things that you were just asking in those types of programs, voc ed and everything, we were able to do that. We had the money to do it. Right now, we don't have it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're back to the teachers bringing their supplies in again,
right,
you know, and that's what's sad.
Well,
you know?
Us as a, you know, as a small business owner, we're doing all those fundraisers now with the school backpacks back to school.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. But we're, as a business owner, also looking for help for future people, for future employees. The kids aren't taught early enough for any kind of mechanical skill.
Right.
We used to be, back in the day, we were taught some sort of basic skill, but they'd taken it out of the school, and now, more than ever, we need that to come back.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Oh, I agree. When I was in junior high school, I had mechanical drawing was right. Something you had in the eighth grade.
Right.
Woodshop. And then woodshop went to the next level. You always did something seven, eight, and nine.
Yep.
You know, whether you wanted to or not, but you did, and you enjoyed it. But it did send some kids off to a voc school after that. That's what they wanted to follow through on.
Or it gave them a skill while they were going to college.
Exactly.
So they could earn a living to pay for their school.
I could just kind of jump in here real quick, Peter.
Yep.
Where do things stand? Because I know that this has been, the equity in education suit has been something that has been, I know that the city and the school department have been developing over the past couple of years. And from my last conversation with Kathy Smith was that they were going to look to get other community. It wasn't just going to be Brockton alone, but there were going to be other communities and other stakeholders that were going to be a part of this as going forward, because it might have been a little bit tougher for Brockton to go it alone.
I believe that's what they've been trying to do. I'm just not sure of the other, you know, the names of the communities, but there are others that are willing to start to jump on. And even in our budget this year, we already put $100,000 away just for the fact, mere fact that we know that there'll be, you know, money that's going to be spent at the legal end. You had pro bono at the first time, you know what I mean? And even the second time, I don't think you'll have that this time. You'd like to say that, but I don't think so. So hopefully the other communities will join in too, because if not, it's going to be a continued cost, and that's going to be an issue.
Right.
Because it's not going to happen overnight. It could be a case that still could go for 5 or 6 years. But in the interim, We still have a $60 million deficit here that we've got to clear up somehow.
Is education, we're running short on time, and we got three Brockton City Councilors here with Ann Beauregard, Ward 5 City Councilor, At-Large Councilor Wynn Falwell, and Ward 3 City Councilor, Dean of the City Council, I might add, Dean, Mr. Dennis Inary, who is here. What do you guys feel are going to be the issues that will be discussed if you have forums in and around the city, you have other media outlets, whether they're held on BCA, whether they're held at the high rise, one of the high rises? Well, what do you feel are going to be the real issues? And those who people who are listening, what would you like to say to them as people who have served on the city council? Because people you are going to have candidates who are going to get out there and promise they're going to do everything.
I let me just jump with that, and then everyone else can jump in. But I think the one thing that I'm going to be pushing for is a candidate for re-election, is I definitely want to have more police protection in our neighborhoods. I don't think we do enough for our neighborhoods, to be very truthful with you. We don't. We have deplorable streets. I've been saying that right along. We need to come up with another way of getting some additional funding so that we can do those types of things that need to be taken care of. But I want to see more police out in our streets. I want to see my police officers still in the Campello section of the city doing the job they're supposed to be doing. I don't want that taken away from us because we didn't want to vote for overtime sometime because the mayor gets mad at us that way and says, phew, I'm scoffing those two. We don't need... No, that's not the way it's done. Okay, we need people out there. We need more fire people as well in the firehouses at the same time. And I know some of the things that the people are going to be, saying back to me is my taxes go up, my streets don't get repaired, I want police, I want protection, I want a control of what we have, of what I call nuisance parties lately, and we're having a problem in our neighborhoods, all our neighborhoods, of these ongoing types of parties, 20, 30, 40, 50 deep. I can't tell you can't have a party at your house, but we need to control it, and we're losing a little bit of control. And this, to me, bothers me and what I've been going through lately in the past few months with these types of situations. So I'm just one ward counselor speaking on what I know is going to be coming to me, and I know what I'm going to say back. No, we're going to take care of it. We're going to solve these problems the best that we can. So,
yep,
counselor?
Public safety. Too many shootings in the city. I don't claim that everything's fine because we're low with the homicide rate. I always worry when a shot is fired because I don't know where the bullet went if it didn't hit its target. That is absolutely a priority, police and fire. Funding for our schools, we've got to educate our children, and actually that increases property values when you have an excellent school system. Economic development in a controlled way, because you don't want to go crazy and now tax your police, fire, and school services. And the last thing I agree with Dennis is the streets. It's not asking too much to live on a street and have it reconstructed, and it's been left alone for 40 years. I've got a couple of streets that we're going to accept. There are rocks coming up through the pavement. You can't even walk down there without stubbing
rocks or cobblestones.
No, they're rocks.
Oh, yeah. I just want to make sure. Yeah. I clarified. Ann?
Yes. Well,
five City Council?
Again, thank you. And again, I am running for re-election. Yes, I talked about what I want to do. Again, we highlighted the economic development piece of it. I wanted to get back to Richard had wanted to talk about our property and our real estate. Our real estate's doing very well in the city of Brockton. We're selling our homes. One of our problems is the abandoned property situations where individual, let's say, is deceased or there's been foreclosures, and it's following up on that and taking back that property and revitalizing it to make it a residence and taxpayer opportunity for a person to live and provide for the community. Of course, I'm working with the streets. I'm working on a project with that right now with MMA, Massachusetts Municipal Association, because in Ward 5 in particular, there's so many private ways. And I wanted to get back what Peter had talked about with schools and developing mechanical techniques, etc. I want to point out, too, that a lot of people are doing a lot of that at libraries with different programs. In Brockton, we have a phenomenal project going with kids learning how to do code, because there's going to be 200,000 jobs by the year 2020, and we're also learning, kids are getting part of taking electronic components together, and that's again taking place.
You are listening to 95.9 WATD here in Marshfield. You are listening to Monday Night Talk, and if you will, please continue.
Oh, yes.
I know. Top of the hour idea. I have to know it legally.
Top of the hour. No, I understand, and that's what I'm going to be concentrating on, what I've done before and more of it, and being honest and frank. I've had ward meetings. Sometimes you get 20 people, and sometimes you get 11, and sometimes you get 40. But the thing is, you don't give up, and you keep on, you know, bringing it out there and informing people and empowering people and encouraging people to be part of this. They own the city, so they might as well be part of it and to, you know, and how would I say it, make it better for themselves and their families. So that's what we encourage here. Yeah.
We've got probably about 4 minutes left here. Is there something I didn't ask you in regards to your re-election campaign or that's going on in the city, but you want to take a moment to at least to speak about, even if it's just to give a website or Facebook or something like that. But if there's something that we didn't speak about, but you want to at least address for you know, 30 to 60 seconds, Mr. Farwell.
Well, I can't thank the residents enough for serving now in all three positions, school committee, mayor, and city council. I would ask people to make sure they register to vote. There is a primary on September 19th. The council is at large. It appears will not have a primary, but other people will.
Wait, you mean there aren't going to be like 72 people running for at large?
Apparently there's only 8 running now, so those 8 will go on to the final. And I would definitely echo what Ian and Dennis said. We want people to know what's going on in the city. Right. So watch the meetings. If you can't come down to City Hall, watch the meetings on Brockton
YouTube.
Community Access.
Yeah. YouTube. Yeah,
exactly. And
okay, I don't have a preliminary like my colleague Dennis. So yes, I'm gonna start, you know, getting out there more. The thing is every day you're involved. Like Wynn said, you do an awful lot of reading. It's nothing to, you know, turn on your email in the morning and see 6, 11, 12 emails. And then you go back in the afternoon, you've responded to those, there's more that come along, and the follow-ups that go along. But I read every single thing I receive. And, you know, you go over it, and you inform people about it and make it completely available. So, yes, I'll be out there again, knocking and dropping and talking to people. I can be reached at 774-297-4939. That's the best way to reach me on my cell. I'll follow up. I do get texts. I don't usually respond with the texts. I want to talk to people. And they can always email me at aborgad@cobma.us. So I'm
going
to long time.
Mr.
Well,
I just read Dennis and Ari, please.
Thank you. And thank you for having us all here this evening. It's been great as usual. But I want to take a moment just to thank the people of Ward 3 for allowing me to serve them for the last 14 years. Yes, I do have a couple opponents this year. I am on a primary ballot, which means I am in the preliminary election on
September 19th.
September 19th, yep. Polls open at 7 o'clock in the morning, close 8 o'clock at night. But the key factor is you need to come out and vote, because that is sometimes, I hate to say it, but that is sometimes when the incumbent can sometimes be, Dennis, I love you, I'll get you in November. Great, you love me, you come out in September. I've got to move forward to that next stage, and I mean that. And I'm going to be out there. I'm out there working already. I'm always out there working. I mean, there isn't a time when I don't stop doing it. And I think my colleagues here know just what it's all about. A lot of those that are entering these races don't understand what city government is and what the city council does. It's a lot more challenging than what you think. It really, really is. It's part-time pay, but it can be full-time 24/7.
And I'm going to say this. I had the privilege. I always love my conversations with the elections, the executive director of the elections commission, John McGarry, who does a phenomenal job. And John, of course, getting back to full health, had a chance to speak with him a couple of weeks ago, and one of the things that he was frustrated about is that people aren't necessarily, you know, running for office because they want to, you know, they want to invoke change, but, you know, somebody asked them, hey, you want to run for office? It's like one of those things.
Right.
And there's not a purpose. And if you are running for office, I think you should do it. Do it with purpose.
Right.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Do it with purpose.
Yep. And as you just said, some people have been asked to run for office.
Yes.
So that stays in my mind, because I've been around for a long time and I know how the process works. So I don't think I need to say anything more.
Well, I want to thank the three of you for making the trek for Brockton soon. soon, I
it's
believe.
It's a great
the,
ride.
The Brockton radio station will be back on air, 1468.
They have to drive through Whitman to get here, by the way.
Yeah. Maybe on the way back, they can stop at McGuigan and do some Sega. We are going to step aside for a couple of moments, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the People's Museum of Brockton right here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, heard here on 95.9 WATD. And we like to have interesting guests on the program. Again, the idea of the program is to inform the South Shore, as we serve many communities, mostly Plymouth County, at least I'd like to say so, which has the one city, Brockton, and 26 towns. And it so happens that we are targeting the city of Brockton with this particular conversation, as we have Kara McCormick, and she's here to talk a little bit about the People's Museum of Brockton. And she's actually, she's on a collecting spree. She's looking to get the word out about this People's Museum of Brockton. Welcome to Monday Night Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, absolutely. I you know, when this came across my desk, and I want to thank the school, Michelle Bolton, who actually shared this information with me. And again, I you know, it caught me when she sent the PDFs. And it was interesting to see, and I'm actually holding it in my hand now, which is even better. It grabbed me by the people. The People's Museum of Brockton, our stories, our history, our city. And the idea is that you're hoping to get the word out to people who might want to share items for this museum. Kind of, how did you come to be the curator of the People's Museum? Because that's what I'm calling you right now.
Yes. Basically, I came up with the idea. And so basically, I wanted to tap into a community of people in Brockton that I felt like weren't really part of the official story or the official history of Brockton. And usually the official history is about leaders and the legacies that they lead and leave behind. And I really wanted to tap into people, the ordinary people of Brockton, and see what stories they might share about their own personal lives in Brockton. So how did I want to do that? I decided I would do it through the sharing of objects, ordinary objects. So I'm asking people, the current residents of Brockton, to bring me an object that has some kind of personal story. It doesn't have to be some grand gesture. It doesn't have to be even related to Brockton's official history at all. It only needs to have a personal story and relate somehow to their time in Brockton.
That's very interesting. I like that. Now, where will these items be on display? I'm thinking that where we have the Enzo Flats, that maybe somewhere.
Yes, exactly. There's a gallery attached to the Enzo Flats called the Gallery at Enzo Flats. It's right on the corner of Montello and Center Streets. And where they've been generous enough to offer me the space so that I can curate the show. And right now we're hoping to get people enough submissions so that I can have an exhibit up for the Downtown Brockton Arts and Music Festival, which is coming up very quickly the weekend of August 25th. So we're going to be putting this all together over the course of the next couple of weeks. I have some help also from the Fuller Craft Museum, which has been great.
Wow.
And we basically collected a number of items so far, but we still have a long way to go if I want to make it like a really robust show. So I'm actually going to be at Summerfest on the 19th, also collecting items if people wanted to come and meet me there, learn more about the project, and also bring me a submission, fill out the submission form and tell me all about their lives. I'd be really happy to hear it.
How did you come to be involved with this? Was this something that you're doing on your own? Are you an art type, an artsy type of a person? Are you somebody who has a passion for history? Kind of give me the story, how the genesis of this.
I am a historian by trade. Wow. I have my doctorate in American studies, but a lot of that focus is on history, and I'm particularly interested in public history or people's history, which is often referred to as history from below, and the sharing that of that history with other people, which is why it's called public history. And so when I came back to Brockton after I had a postdoc in California, and I moved back to Brockton after that, I really felt like there was this need for people to get more engaged with the community in terms of history here. And so I came up with this idea, and it's been really remarkable, the stories that people have shared with me, which are very personal and also about Brockton. So it's this really sort of mishmash of stories and Brockton history and people's history all coming together, and I'm really grateful that people have done so far.
Now, are you doing this in your spare time, or is this something that you have invested a lot of personal time, or is there some kind of a grant process that's being able to help you fund this? How is this coming to be?
I am currently unfunded, and it's also pretty much a full-time job. I do not have a full-time job at the moment, and so I really devoted most to all of my working time to this project, meeting people, talking to people around Brockton, people who are in leadership positions, who are helping me sort of latch on to different communities within Brockton, and that's been a huge help as well. So I'm not really working on by myself, but it's really a full-time job that I've taken on, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how it manifests once we get it going.
Well, you're talking about this being a show, something that you will have at the gallery at the Enzo Flats. What happens? What's the length of time that the show will be up, and will you look for a permanent home for this? Is this something where maybe you work with the Fuller Craft Museum and see if they will maybe donate a wing or a section, or what's the plan?
That would be amazing. Basically, because the gallery has offered me the space, it's only until they have a next show, which I believe is at the end of September. So currently I'm looking for this exhibit to be up maybe about 3 or 4 weeks. But I'm also hoping that it becomes a shifting exhibit, a sort of expanding and constantly evolving exhibit, so that once people sort of come in and see it at the Enzo, they say to themselves, oh, I really want to be part of this as well. And that it sort of gains some momentum and continues even after the show is over or that kind of thing. So yes, I am hoping that it will find a new home and that people will continue to submit objects and come and learn about their community and see how we're all connected in Brockton.
So you're basically attempting to plant the seed, to jumpstart this little project, and hoping that this thing will grow into a proud specimen, whether it's a tree or a bush or whatever it ends up being. Is this something that you've always wanted to do? Has this been, again, you've already professed that you are a historian by nature, probably a history teacher somewhere. I don't know, but has this always been kind of, like when you're a little kid, like myself, talking into my brush when I was 5 years old, I want to be on the radio. yourself, what was that something? Or did it come to you one day where someone's like, oh, it's too bad that Brockton doesn't have, something about history, the people's history?
Well, Brockton actually does have a number of ways that history is presented to the public, including the Downtown Visitor Center and some other history walks around downtown Brockton, and also the public library. They all sort of engage, and City Hall also engages in a public history of sorts, where people can go and learn about either classic history or Brockton's history in particular. But no, I didn't always want to be a historian or a cultural studies person. I had a job. I went to graduate school later in life. So it wasn't until I was in graduate school that I really sort of honed in onto history as a field, not necessarily knowing the vast history of the world or of the United States, but the ways that people engage in history really interests me, the ways that we tell stories about the past and how those resonate in certain ways. So other stories are not necessarily told. People in positions of power tend to be the ones who tell the story. And I really like the idea of other people telling the story, which is really the genesis or the er of this project.
Okay. I guess the thing I would ask you is, could you, without revealing the individuals, could you tease us what our palette, so to speak, with one of these things that you have already been given and are going to make part of this exhibit?
Yes, I have received, I would say, one of the most sort of emotional submissions was a tube of lip balm, which in and of itself doesn't really have any meaning. If you see it on its own, it doesn't really do anything for you. But it's the story that is shared about that lip balm that actually brings it to life and makes it a much more interesting and intriguing submission. And basically the story is that this woman was homeless at the time, and somebody gave her this tube of lip balm, and on the label it says hope. And there was something about this lip balm that really sort of shifted her own identity and way of thinking about herself, and it really lifted her out of her that current predicament that she was in. And when she told me this story, she actually wrote an essay about it for me. It's just really moving, and I think that people can really relate to something like that, where this one thing sort of triggers an emotional response, but also a shift in the way you think about yourself and the way you think about community. I also received a certificate of survival from the spirit, from the Blizzard of 78, which is very funny because I think a lot of people, you know, the certificate of survival, which was they were given out, or I don't know what you'd call it. They were handed out or whatever by the president, basically. So Jimmy Carter was president at the time. It's signed by Jimmy Carter. We had to put our names on them. I have one. But
wait, I didn't get one.
Yeah. Everybody in the know got one.
Okay, right.
But what it does is it triggers this idea that people, you know, we all remember the Blizzard of 78. What we were doing, we didn't have school at the time. I was a little kid, and we didn't have school. But the story that's told about this certificate is really more about the neighborhood coming together, everybody walking to the grocery store together, buying things for your neighbors, going to get pizza together, things like that, where people really came together as a community during this 2 weeks of craziness that we had.
Wait. It was hell. Let's be real here, okay? Hell. And we didn't have the amenities. Like these days, we get 28 inches of snow. It's nothing.
Right.
But then, I mean, it kind of hit us by surprise.
Right. And it happened really quickly, too. So a lot of people were stranded on the highway. My mother tells a story of somebody, of one of our neighbors who drove, I guess he drove like 5 miles an hour. It took him all night long to get home, and he finally did. And it's a big story for us. Mm. And so this certificate, while it's sort of cute and funny on its own, once the story starts coming out about it, about community and people helping each other and sharing stories and sharing dinner tables together, that's really where it comes alive, and that's what I love about that.
And I don't know if I asked you this or if we've mentioned it, but you are also a Brocktonian, right?
I am indeed. I grew up in Brockton. I was born and raised there.
So probably around the time of the blizzard, you were somewhere in the city, yeah?
I was indeed, yeah.
Okay, where in the city?
I grew up on the south side, so I remember walking along Plain Street, which had the, you know, I don't even know how high the snowdrifts were, 10 feet, sure. I don't even know,
sure.
And walking all the way up to Main Street from our street to go to the grocery store, which was Fernandy's at the time.
Oh, yeah,
they don't
back
have
in the day.
Yet,
yeah, there was like, there were three of them. Funny you say that, because I lived at the time on the east side behind the Fernandy's.
Oh,
there where the Maple Alleys was, and there used to be a Mammoth Mart, King's, uh-huh. King's, Caldor's, and I think there's a, it's a JLS now. It's like a delivery service. But I lived behind a Fernandy's at that particular time. But, and it's funny you mention that, because my mom actually used to work at Channel 7 doing stuff there, and actually came home in the middle of the night. Her vehicle coming down Sterling Road actually got spun out sideways. And she's and so she's like, oh my God, what do I do? And so it was basically blocking the street. And she sees a plow coming towards her. And she goes, and she thought that, oh, I'm saved. No, he ended up burying the car. And so it's odd that we all have our stories. And I wish I had like the shovel or something from that, but that, which would be a great story. Now, are you yourself? Do you have any little trinkets or anything, or family member that will be part of this exhibit?
Absolutely,
too?
All of my family is involved, and I am currently. Sort of toying between two items. I will tell you what they are.
Okay.
One of them is a photograph of me from when I was in fifth grade. And ironically enough, I'm standing in front of a display that my teacher had created, and it says the blizzard of, I mean, flurrying into 78. So it was the, you know, January before the February,
okay.
Before the blizzard. And it was taken by Stanley Bowman.
Oh, the great Stanley Bowman.
Renowned photographer for the Enterprise. And I'm wearing all of my sister's clothes. She went to a different elementary school. So she left before I did, and I put on all of her clothes and went to school. Of course, she would never have known, except for the fact that I got my picture in the paper taken by Stanley Bowman.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
pretty
very
cool.
Funny.
Now, have you kind of already kind of mapped out how you're going to set this up? Is it already kind of, or is it too early in the process? Again, we are with Kara McCormick. And she is the curator of the People's Museum of Brockton. She's looking to collect items. So I'm sure that you're probably, it's in its infancy where you're trying to collect, and then you'll decide how it'll be displayed. Folks want to participate in this. You're still seeking participation. How can folks, if they have an object, if they have a story like the lip balm, how can they get in touch with you? And how is the process? How does the process go?
Essentially, somebody can get in touch with me via Facebook. There's a By the People, the People's Museum of Brockton Facebook page. You can send me a private message there. You can also email me at Kara@KaraMcCormick.com. You can even give me a call. My number is 617-686-4113. And you'd basically just make an appointment with me. I will come to you wherever you are. And basically the process is that you have this object that you've chosen, and then you will fill out a submission form, which is also available on my website. And the submission form is really where you tell the story about the object and how it relates to your time in Brockton. And again, that's really where your object comes alive. So I've trying to make it as convenient as possible by being able to go to people. I'll meet you at your home or at your office or at your favorite coffee shop. But I'm also, like I said before, going to be at the Summerfest. I believe I'm going to be in the Green Building, basically giving out more information if people want it and collecting objects if people have them. So if you have an object and you can make it to Brockton High on August 19th, I will be there and I'd love to see you.
And if I could just kind of throw this out there, and it's not necessarily, you know, like for the tried and true, you know, second and third generation Brocktonians, but during our conversation when we were setting up this interview, you kind of indicated that you want all walks, even if it's somebody who's been in the city for, you know, a month or a couple of months, you want to kind of make sure that you're able to span the spectrum with folks who are, you know, who have been touched by Brockton.
Exactly. One of the things that I'm discovering as a scholar, I'm sort of trying to be in touch and in tune with the ways that people are interpreting the project. And I find that a lot of people say, "Ooh, I've only been here for a year. I'm not, an old timer. I'm a newcomer." But really, those are the people that I want to touch. The people that I really want to reach out to are the ones who have recently arrived, even if "quote unquote" recent means in the last 30 years. I think it's really interesting the ways that people understand the concept of history, the how we define history, and really, I think we're sort of archaeologists who are digging through the present on its way to becoming the past. So something might have happened to you. You might have gotten a parking ticket last week. I want to see it, and I want to know the story behind it.
Anything I haven't asked you in regards to this project, but you want to make sure it's important to get across to our listeners?
I think the biggest thing is that everybody's story is important. And that's another thing I'm sort of coming across, an obstacle that I find, is that people don't think that what they have to share is an important component of our cultural history and our cultural place. And it is. Everybody's story is important. And I think that once we sort of start seeing how other people are interpreting the project and their own stories that are coming together as a group, then people will realize, oh, I have a story too. Or oh, that happened to me. Maybe that's something that I can also bring to you and share with others. So everybody's story is important. I want to hear it. Everybody wants to hear it. And see what object you have to, sort of align with your story. And I'm just excited to share that with others.
Kara McCormick has been our guest here talking about the People's Museum of Brockton, our stories, our history, our city. And as it says on the fly, help us make history. Again, you can contact Kara at Kara McCormick, McCormick.com. Also go to Facebook, www.facebook.com/Brockton People's Museum. She'll look to meet with you. You can message her. And she'll, again, coffee shop, whatever the item, no matter how small. Don't make it too large, because we want to make sure we get everybody's stuff in there at the gallery at the Enzo Flats. Kara, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
You got it. We are going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Back in the 1950s, Grossman's in Braintree had sitting out in front of their lot a gigantic pile of intertwined wire cable. Neighborhood kids told one another it was an anti-submarine net used during World War II. Maybe the one at Pearl Harbor. Kids used to climb all over it. Very dangerous. Bill Buckley even took home a clip from it. He left it on his front porch and then forgot all about it. That was the summer of 1958. 40 years later, Bill was mowing his parents' lawn, a favor he enjoyed. Suddenly, the mower blade struck that clip and sent it smashing through his own windshield. When he picked it up from the front seat, he had no clue.
I'm Tiny of Tiny & Sons Glass. We come to your work or home and we fix your windshield. Your insurance covers it. We're Tiny & Sons. My boys do a good job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
No.
All right, we are back for the final segment. We've got a little bit of crosstalk going on here, and we got a great group in front of us. Thanks, courtesy to Peter Brown.
Thank you, Kevin.
And Dave Shea and Mike Morris. And we also have the Plymouth County Sheriff, Joe McDonald. Why do we have these guys here?
Why? Peter? Why not?
Peter?
Well, we're going to talk about the second annual Pembroke Day, which is coming up this Saturday.
Nice.
The second annual Pembroke Day. And then it's the 8th annual softball game between the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce. And we're going to beat the police and fire department.
Pembroke. For the third game in a row.
Yeah.
Let's not poke the bear too much.
Well, we've been poking him for the past 2 weeks.
We've been poking him the past couple of years. We've gotten away with it.
Yeah.
Although some of us have had to suffer injuries and go on the IR because of those victories. But
so give it your all.
Some would say you've earned the right to talk trash.
just a little bit.
Well, we invited Chief Wall, but he banged out. He could not make it.
No.
He was afraid. And then Mike Hill chose to take his vacation tonight.
They're practicing right now.
The freight train.
Yeah.
Mike the freight train Hill.
Then Officer Morgan's putting models together today.
Dude, you're really...
Yeah. You should have seen
his face. Don't write a check that our fannies can't
take. Exactly, yeah. Sorry. See, this is what happens when you give me the red mic.
I know.
Yeah.
That is what happens. Exactly. But let's talk a little bit about Pembroke Day. I know that, Mike, you are one of the folks who helps organize this. Kind of talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the Pembroke Day is it started with our softball game, as you mentioned, 8 years ago, and we used to just get together and have a game. And then last year we decided to really try to make it a little bit bigger and include as many people as we could from the community and see if we could give back, raise a little bit of money and give back. And I think our first year last year at this level was very successful. A lot of folks came out. We had a great day. Hoping for the same this year. Tons of events, you know, kids games, bounce houses, dunk tank, you know, you name it. We've got something for everybody.
Dave, give me your thoughts on Pembroke Day and also the big softball game, which I think is going to be just as much a draw as Pembroke Day.
And going back 8 years, it was never a draw, which was part of the problem. When we first started this, I thought it'd be a great idea to have the chamber and the police and fire get together and maybe get the townspeople together to meet some of their public servants and meet some of the business owners in town. And the first year we tried to raise money. We had a member who was involved in a motorcycle accident up on the expressway, lost a leg. We wanted to try to raise money to help him with the expenses. And the only people that showed up for the game were the guys playing in it. And, you know, so we all threw money in and not anywhere what we wanted it to be. But it has begun to evolve over time. And last year, Mike and Kelly Lay of Bridgewater Savings and plenty of our members started ponying up some serious money to make this thing happen. And we had Pembroke Titans Against Drugs as our primary beneficiary. And gee, we gave them, what, $2,500? Yeah, is that what it was? We also supplied
police and fire
Rick Wall and the police with their funding for Halloween safety and Mike Hill for the Firefighters Relief Fund. And this year, it's going to be even better. I can't thank Mike and Kelly and Lori Cook from Fork on the Road Catering for the way they have stepped up. And we have even more sponsors than we had a year ago. And this year's primary beneficiary is going to be the Firehouse Food Pantry. And they do marvelous work. We talked to Peg Struzak at length, and I had no idea they did the kinds of thing they do. They take care of over 600 families in Pembroke, and they do it on a budget of $15,000. They bought last year, I want to say it was like 86 tons of food from the Greater Boston Food Bank, and it was worth thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They paid $15,000. But it's all volunteer money. And in fact, a lot of the volunteers chip in their own money to pay the bills. So we're hoping we can give them a nice check this year to offset a lot of their expenses for the year.
And I might add, in the room also, every year that I've had a chance to participate, whether it's in the softball game or in the Pembroke Day, there's usually the fine folks from the Plymouth County Sheriff's Department. Sheriff, talk to me about being a part of this event, your folks being there, whether it's just to meet and greet the folks, to doing fingerprinting, or whatever it is that you guys normally do when you are at an event like this.
Sure, Kevin, yeah. From a personal standpoint, I have to tell you, I really love these community building events that we have, and we have them all over the county.
Yeah.
This one is really one of my favorites because it's so close to home and so close to my heart. You guys know, you see me there every year. We love to get out there. We love to meet the people that we serve. And I think many people are surprised. I know this year, at the, you know, the breadth of the services that we offer, this year I had, you know, of course, everyone in the room knows how to reach me, so they're always putting the arm on me early. And my accountant is actually the treasurer of the Chamber of Commerce, Mike Damon. Mike was talking to me as recently as last week, at the end of last week. Rick Wall the police chief, a very old and dear friend. We go back to my early days at the DA's office. So they want us to have all the assets we can out there. We're going to get the mobile command center out there. We're going to have the deputies out doing the fingerprinting for the kids, giving out the little plastic badges. We're going to hopefully have the canines out there to do demonstrations as well. And I understand Pembroke is getting their canine program up and running, which is a wonderful thing, and that's coming out of our place as well. And I'm hoping, I can't make any promises, but I'm hoping to have at least one of our antique sheriff's cruisers there as well.
Really? See, here was my fear. I think last year, the district attorney played for the police and fire. My fear was you were going to be the secret weapon for the police and fire this year. That was my fear. And the idea was to lure you here, to talk you off the ledge, and come join the winning squad. Because we know that you're an athletic guy.
I'm like Big Poppy, huh?
Exactly.
We also need somebody with somebody who's a little bit more sturdy at home plate than myself.
Someone a bit more robust, as they say.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be my pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
But no. But no, I want to actually ask you, though. Talk to me about the importance of being able to participate in the many communities in Plymouth County, especially like for the town of Pembroke.
Well, it's wonderful two-way communication, really, because I get to meet and talk to a lot of the people who are surprised at the fact that, you know, we do have a presence in those communities. Many people don't realize that, you know, at the correctional facility, we're more than a house of correction. We offer a lot of services, and they're surprised, and I like to hear from them what their perceived needs are for the community, and I can raise those issues with the town officials, with the police chief, who I see at least once a month at the police chief's meeting. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, I think, for the kids to see us and what we're up to sit in the antique cruiser, or to see the modern technology we have in the mobile command center. We can actually run an entire police station through that mobile command center, and when people come in and see it, they're understandably impressed. Yeah, it's quite an asset, and it's available countywide.
Mr. Rosen.
You know, when we did the Winterfest in Whitman for all those years, we were fortunate enough to have the sheriff give us the services of the sheriff's department, and it was amazing. I've had the opportunity to be in that mobile command center. It is amazing.
It is impressive.
It's, you know, when they put that tower up and the things that you can see and where you can see, it is amazing, and it's such a valuable asset to the county. They also used to do the fingerprints for us during Winterfest, and again, it was one of those things. People love to have that done, and it's just it's invaluable to the county.
You know, one thing I'll note too. I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, a lot of people may or may not realize that the deputy sheriffs that you see out there doing all that stuff, they do that as volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, and God bless them, and my thanks to them. You know, sometimes I will be approached by someone who says, you know, is this good use of department overtime pay to have people out here, you know, putting on shows for the public? And the truth of the matter is they're not getting paid. They're there as volunteers. They come from our communities as well, and they have as much pride as any of us, both in our communities and our department. So I thank them.
And, you know, the fact is, even if they were getting paid, it is worth it to have them in the community.
Absolutely, yeah, Peter.
Well, you know, it brings back the days when we were in Pembroke, you know, growing up as kids, and the firemen's musters we used to have at the fields, at Mattakeesett Fields, every year. And this is where the community policing, community fire, and the sheriff, we're trying to bring that back to Pembroke now, because the community needs to know their law enforcement and the fire officials and the sheriffs, and to know that they're there for them and how to communicate with them on a basis other than playing softball or football or something. So it's a great thing.
Absolutely, and not just the police and fire, but the business community getting face-to-face with the public. I've always said a community is only as strong as its schools,
right,
as its police and fire, and as its business community. And that requires support going both ways. And a thing like this allows the business owners in town, the police and the fire, to go face-to-face with the people in the town and put a face with the entity. So you're not just a policeman or a fireman or a business owner. You're Peter Brown. You own Tiny and Sons.
Right. Well, you know, we have Officer Brennan that's our liaison now with the Pembroke Chamber, and
right,
his job is to go out and update all the communication and anything, that, say, if a business gets broken into and up, that he's out there updating all their information for the police and fire. And he came on board about 4 months ago and it's been working out great, especially with us trying to communicate with the new members. So it works both ways.
Mm. If I can kind of throw this out there, how many members are part of the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce? How many do you have that are signed up and part of, actively part of the chamber?
Paid members?
That's just Dave.
That's always the rub. No, I think we have 90 or 91 paid members, and there's, you know, another dozen that have been on, haven't renewed, or maybe think they have renewed and haven't. So we're hovering just under 100.
How important is this to be kind of like a little bit of a I don't want to call it a team builder, but I mean it kind of is. We have folks from the chamber be involved with the community, be involved with the, you know, the softball tournament, and also, you know, give to various charities like this year. You said the food pantry is going to be beneficial of this. How important is it?
Well, I'll speak first, and then I think Peter and Mike can give you their own opinions, sure. Kevin. But I think it's important for business owners to spend time with each other. We're all trying to do the same thing. We're all trying to make a living. We're all trying to serve the public, whether it's service or product. And the best way to grow your business and improve your business is to find out what other people are doing. You know, you might have a good idea, but it's not the only idea.
Right.
And there may be better ways to do what you're doing. But if you never network with other people and find out how do you do it or how do you do it, you're missing the boat. And this is a fun opportunity for all of our members to get together, meet people that they don't see that often. We have after hours events every month. But, you know, it's usually the same 25, 30 people that attend those. That means there's 55, 60 that don't make it to those. So it's a great opportunity to get some of our members out of the darkness into the light of the sun so that the public can meet them and their fellow business owners can meet them.
Yeah, I think, you know, what surprised me last year in talking with both Chief Hill and Chief Wall was their involvement in this event. It's all about getting back into the community, making kids understand that the police and fire are there for them in good times, not just bad.
Right.
And I think, you know, for them, that was their view, is making sure, you know, the kids are comfortable with us. We start to build relationships, and if they need something, that they're comfortable. For the businesses, I think, you know, people forget that strong business community is really relying on a strong community in general. And you know, a lot of times, I think residents, when they have choices of who they're going to use for different businesses, when they start to build relationships with owners that are just like them, with a family that live in town, and you know, it really does help them appreciate,
commonality.
Yeah, yep. Appreciate what you have there. And I think, lastly, you know, all the businesses that are participating are, like Dave mentioned, giving back and are giving back year round. It's not just this event. It's, you know, sponsoring sports teams, and sometimes parents have kids on those teams that have your name on the back of the jersey and they want to thank you. And it goes a long way, you know, when we're writing checks to make sure we give back that it's making a difference.
Peter, we got to chime in?
Well, one of the things that people always ask me as far as business when they're trying to start their business in town is, what do you do? And the first thing I tell them is to join the chamber. Get involved. Sponsor softball, sponsor baseball, sponsor hockey. Get involved with the schools and find out who's on the committees and find out about Pembroke Day or even some of the other things that have been going on in town. And the best thing to do is to get involved and ask questions. And I know when my father was, when we were growing up for my dad, it was the Elks Club, Boy Scouts. He was scout master for all the Boy Scouts. He was on the fire department. And he was always in the community doing something for someone. So if you want your business to be successful, you have to be involved.
And again, we're talking about Pembroke Day. That's coming up this Saturday from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. be held at the First Lieutenant Brian M. McPhillips Field. That's in Pembroke. And the charity this year, what was it again, Dave?
Firehouse Food Pantry.
Firehouse Food Pantry. And not just Pembroke Day, but, of course, the big softball game.
Yes.
Eighth annual softball game of Pembroke Chamber of Commerce versus Pembroke Police and Fire. Of course, Mike Gamaris will be batting cleanup.
Yeah.
Dave, of course, is our skipper.
Yeah, I'm on the DL, so I will still be in uniform, but only to walk out to the mound to get Tomasi before he buries us.
Hopefully, he doesn't get hit in the nose again.
but it's fun to be able to kind of meet. I feel privileged that I've been able to be a part of it. I love that Arthur Boyle, I know ATD sometimes has the past couple of years been there calling the game. Arthur has a great time. I think I would say the first year I played, I actually hit a triple, and Arthur was giving me business over on the microphone that I might need some medical help because I was out of breath over during the pace. But it's a great time. It's a fun time. I like the idea that the police, the fire, the business community can interact with the community at large, especially when you're dealing with, you talk about the Pembroke Titans Against Drugs.
Yeah.
You talk about that organization. We look at what our communities are dealing with, what we're battling these days when we talk about an epidemic like drugs that's creeping into our communities, and if there's a way for folks to kind of feel get acquainted with the police, the fire, and the business community, I think an event like this is a perfect way to be able to do it.
You know, it's funny, the first year we played, the police and fire kicked our butts all over Pembroke. I think it was like 33-8. We were embarrassed. Mm. And of course, as anyone who's been competitive knows, you don't get back, you get even.
Exactly.
And we happened to have a little bit different looking roster when we took them on the next year. And I think they were taking for granted that they were going to drub us again.
Right.
And we won 2 years in a row. Then the police and fire won 2 years. We've won the last 2 years. And I know that doesn't sit well with them.
No, I think they're ready.
I know they're ready.
They are. But they're also, they are a fun group. And it's fun to be able to, like I said, I've, you know, seeing the DA out there playing third base, the hot corner, you know, that's impressive myself. I also know that Tim's a hockey player.
Timmy's a great athlete, not just hockey.
Yeah.
Timmy's a very good all-around athlete.
Yeah.
He came with his own personal trainer. We knew we were going to there was something wrong with it.
He was stretching him out in left field. I'm like, what's going on here?
And you know, the fun thing is, I mean, look, most of the guys that played competitively when they were younger. So those competitive juices, they automatically flow. Now, I don't care how old you are.
A little rusty, but they're still there.
But we have a good time, and afterwards, we always go somewhere, whether it's Lucky Dog or alumni, wherever, and we'll have a beer and a pizza, and we'll shoot the breeze and laugh. But I look forward to this every year. It's the highlight of the summer.
Great group.
Yeah, and do we get any special food vendors are going to be there? And I also see, if you could kind of give me an idea as to a drone demonstration. That's intriguing out there as well.
Art Edgerton will be putting on his quadrifoil drone demonstration. He's fantastic. It's amazing what he can do with that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
He's not like one of those drone racers, is he?
No.
Nowadays, when you turn on ESPN, when it's slow,
so cool.
They got the little goggles on. They're not looking at it, but they're actually watching in through a viewfinder.
Ooh. Yeah.
He's not going to do that, is he?
I don't think so. But I don't know that.
We've actually got some drones as well, Kevin, that we use through Mobile Command.
Will those be there?
I hope they will. Yeah, I talked to Jim Moscato, and he thinks they will be.
We
have the capability, you know, to put those in the air and film things like fires or search and rescue operations with the drones. That's an interesting subject in and of itself. You know,
God, you get a lot of technology these days, huh?
I wonder if they taped last year's game at home plate.
Right. Right. And of course,
I don't think so, but the capability is there. Yeah,
I was sore for a few days. I have to admit, I thought I had it. I got up, like, all right, I got this. I was sore for a couple of days.
Yeah. Mike is referring to hopeful videotape of one of the fiercest collisions that I have ever seen on a ball field. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Sure.
Fire Chief Mike Hill barreling down from third. Kevin Tocci behind the plate.
Holding his ground,
and I inadvertently cut off a throw from center field that probably would have gotten to you just fine, but it still got to you. And Hilly was trying to slow down and got tripped up, and instead of leaning back, came lunging forward.
That's inertia.
Oh, boy. They're still putting the pieces back together.
They are. And I got to tell you, everybody here familiar with the Rocky III? With Sylvester Stallone at that time that he was doing the wrestling with Thunderlips, who was actually Hulk Hogan. And at the end, when Thunderlips was no longer in character, the one thing that Sylvester Stallone says, oh, charity hurts. And that was the first thing that came to my mind was that I was doing it for a good cause. It was fun. I'm still honored that I was able to don the number 95 and be in the lineup. And we got, and I think you said we get new uniforms this year.
We do.
Yes.
New unis.
Well, I know the police and fire are going to try to ratchet it up, so I figured I'd try to play with their minds a little bit and make us look like we've ratcheted up.
He bedazzled them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see these uniforms.
We got sparkles.
We're in big shape.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, Kev, you know what I want to mention? Because please we are trying to raise as much money as we can, and just about everything is free. I mean, what is it, a buck a dog or a buck a burger?
Like yeah.
But the food from vendors like Alumni, Lucky Dog, British Beer Company, Longhorn, Bryantville Deli.
Arrow, yeah.
Arrow. Fork in the Road Catering. I know I'm leaving somebody out, and please forgive me. But one of the biggest events that raises a lot of money is the Dunk Tank.
Do we get special guests who are getting in that?
Oh, we do. And that's what I wanted to make sure that I let everybody know when these individuals are going to be there.
Oh, all right.
Because you may want to make sure you are there and have your fistful of fives ready to go. Okay. Five throws for $5. And we don't want to mess with the parade of trucks that kicks off the event at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
So the first into the tank will be Pembroke Selectman Dan Tribuco at 4:15.
Ooh.
There's a line forming already.
Then Fire Chief Mike Hill is at 4:30.
Oh, I'll be there.
State Representative Josh Cutler will jump into the tank at 4:45.
Brave.
Police Chief Rick Wall at 5 o'clock. Janet LaBerge of Dirty Deeds. I thought she had given herself cardiac arrest last year when she hit the water. It was like jumping into the Arctic Ocean.
Oh, my.
She's at 5:15. Our new first-year selectman, Matt Furlong, will be at 5:30. Gene Hain from Capeway Towing mans the platform at 5:45. And right now, Pat Chilcott of the school committee in Pembroke is scheduled for 6 o'clock. Pat said he wanted to make sure we told Libby Bates that he was on at 6 o'clock, and she might come down and try to buy a half hour of trying to throw him in the drink.
Really? I hope PAC TV's showing up for this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be there.
Yeah, Maureen Bates will be there.
Now, Joe, I never asked you, but we have 6:15 and 6:30 open if you'd like to jump in there.
Well, you see, with the command center there, I don't know if he could be actually wet and be operating the command center in wet gear.
Well, I hate to think I would short something out, you know. Plus, if I'm driving the antique, you know, I won't rule it out, but...
Well, just know it's there for you if you want it.
All right.
But that should raise a ton of money, obviously for a good cause.
And other than hearing this segment, and again, we've been fortunate enough to have Mike Gamaris and Dave Shea and Plymouth County Sheriff Joe McDonald and Peter Brown help us organize it, and Richard here kind of watching the entertainment in front of him as he's also sitting in on the program. Anything we've overlooked while we have a couple of moments left, or any information we want to give out to folks who might want to, you know, check it out on the website or get involved? Are you looking for anything at this particular time?
Well, Peter, you can talk about the police and the fire have donated. You can describe it better than I can.
So the Chief Hill and Chief Wall, both police union, fire and police union, bought a remote control. It's a miniature fire truck and a miniature police car. The kids can drive. And that was the pizza.
That was just pulling
in.
That was it. Yeah. So they bought a miniature Ford Explorer fire truck and police car. They're going to decorate it as a Pembroke police car and a fire truck.
Okay.
And we're going to raffle it off. We're going to be selling chances through Pembroke at Pembroke Day. That's when we're going to announce it and be able to see the cars at the table. We're probably going to put it next to the sheriff's so you can see what they look like.
Very nice.
We're going to be drawing them, I think, September
10th.
9th or 10th?
10th.
September 10th. So, and they're amazing. They came into my shop today, and Officer Morgan's putting them together tonight.
Nice.
So, yeah, when I opened the box, I said, I'm not putting those together. It was all wheels and stuff, but they're going to be pretty cool. They got to be just exactly like the Pembroke Fire and exactly like Pembroke Police.
And will there be a Tiny and Sons bumper sticker on the back of each one of them?
No.
Have many ideas.
No. I put one on Officer Flannery's and I got yelled at. So that was, we took letters off it and they did get yelled at. So it wasn't good. But still paying for that.
Does the chamber have a website? So
yes.
Folks, again, they want to find it. What is that? And also, give that out if there's a phone number too.
PembrokeChamber.org. And what's our Facebook page, Peter? They'll probably find more information on the Facebook
Pembroke Chamber of Commerce Facebook page. They can go right on it. Just search it. It comes right up. It's everything. All the information for Pembroke Day is right on there and all the future networking events. And just pop on there. If you have any questions, you can always reach me at my shop. Or you can call Mike Damaris or you can call Dave Shea. And we'll take care of it. If you want to... what's that?
Just give them a reminder when it is.
Oh, okay. I'm practicing.
Come on.
I'm trying.
In front of the microphone.
All right. New calling. Okay, exactly. All right, Pembroke Day, August 19th, 2017, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m.
This Saturday.
I haven't got that part. Okay. Yet. This Saturday, August 19th, from 4 to 8, at Lieutenant Brian McPhillips Field in Pembroke. It's the second annual Touch a Truck. The 8th annual softball game between police and fire in Pembroke Chamber. Food, dunk tank, dunk a chief. We could dunk
bouncy
a chief.
Houses.
Bouncy houses.
Face painting.
Face painting. Sheriff's department. Fingerprinting.
State police copter.
Copter, maybe.
Be a great day.
Dogs, burgers, food.
And then just before we do go off the air, I just want to make a quick note. I know it was excellent.
Thank you.
Bravo.
Give me a round of applause. Off the air?
No.
Are they going to be FCC coming in and banning it now?
No.
We do have a theme song. We had Rob Ackla, Rob and Lisa, nice during the Sutcher's Morning News to always kind of give a rundown as to who's going to be on. And folks might be going, hey, how come I did not hear the governor, Charlie Baker? Had to reschedule. There was a thought to have him come on in regard to some legislation that got in the works. Scheduling would not allow it, but we will have the governor on at a later date.
He was afraid.
Of you still swipe replacing all his pens?
Yes. Well, I think they were going to stick him in the dunk tank.
That would have been great.
Exactly.
But I want to thank you guys for coming in and promoting this fantastic
thing. Thanks, Kevin.
I'm looking forward to being there, looking forward to seeing the sheriff and his crew and all the members of the chamber and all the members of the police and fire and the community at large. Richard, anything in closing?
You know, I just want to commend these guys. I'm sitting here listening to them, and I know how much hard work it is. And the they make it sound like it's nothing, but there's a lot of hard work that goes into it for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're doing it for a great cause, and I think they just ought to be commended.
Amen.
Thank you for the pizza.
Yeah, thank you for the excellent pizza. Now you want to move your business to Pembroke, don't you?
Might be a good location.
All right, there you go. We have our economic development guy right here.
Exactly. Well, until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.